I'm excited. So like sitting in this room and sitting in this building, every time I come in here, I'm just kind of like re-thankful, I guess. Re-thankful. I'm like thankful again because it's neat to think back about the church plant and how it was almost like 2 years worth of prayer and like the fruition of that. And we're in this new prayers kind of series we started last week. And just to think back about the, like the fact that we get to sit in this place was a result of a lot of prayer from a lot of different people over years of God working and moving and doing things. And evidently he wanted to answer this prayer of us being here in Montevallo, worshiping together, bringing us together. A lot of us in ways we never thought or imagined we'd be, you know, a lot of us living around here and how God answered all the prayers for that to happen. And so it's really cool. What I remember back during that process in church planner training, I had to go to Alsbaum and they sent me to this this training getaway weekend. And one of the things, along with like the millions of other things that they told us, because it was a lot, we got fire hose. But one of the things that kind of stood out that I remember was I left with an assignment to enlist 100 prayer partners. Very specific, 100 prayer partners. That was what Lamar Duke, who has passed away just recently from cancer. He was an awesome guy in our life and really instrumental in us being here, just passed away. But one of the things that he talked about was enlisting 100 prayer support people that would be constant in praying for you. I don't know where he got the number. I don't know, like it seems like an arbitrary number, but it's a good number of people praying. And so I left and I said, I think I can make this happen pretty quick. And so we told the Mullets about it. And for those of you who know the Mullet family, there's a lot of Mullets. There's over 100 and something Mullets now. Huh? Yeah, I know. I was like, this is easy. I got this. 100 Mullets in the bag. Because my dad has 9 siblings and they all believe in being fruitful and multiplying, just like their father and mother did. And so they have, like, most of them have over 5 kids or more. Some of them are going on like a whole little Duggar family, you know. A couple of them are working on that deal. And so it's like, that's easy. I've got them praying. And so I was like, ching, you know, mark off the assignment. I was like, you know, I'm part of Westwood Baptist Church now. At the time, and Westwood's 1,600 members. If we can announce this to the whole church, man, that's 1,600 people praying plus 100 Mullets. I've got it in the bag, right? You know, and I remember thinking like some of the stuff Tim was kind of preaching against last week. Like I've got 1,700 people. God's going to be more likely to answer a lot of our prayers and make this thing work out because I've got 1,700. You know, people. And so, and there was a wrong way of thinking in one way, but honestly, there is a lot of neat comfort that comes from knowing that people are praying for you all the time. I get people all over the place texting me that I forgot, you know, we had told about, just people along the way, either in Alsbaum, you know, people that met me in the assessments, they just text me all the time, how things going, how can we be praying? And all the time, they're like, are there people we can pray for? Are there needs that we can pray for? Like, what are the things? And it's so encouraging to know that they're being faithful. We have our family, and they send us messages all the time. We'll kind of let them know what's going on. And some of them are like, go get it. We're praying, you know, like, keep going. And so you've got a bunch, like, thousands of people all over the place, guys, that are in prayer consistently for you. In our church, in our ministry, and your growth in Christ, and all of these things at all times. And I hope that's a comforting thing for you. I like thinking about it too. There's so many people that they're praying prayers that I wouldn't necessarily pray on my own for myself right now. Okay? So like my initial thought when anybody asks me what to pray for is oftentimes to do the thing that we talked about. We shouldn't necessarily be the first prayer last week. Provision, you know, like God, take care of us financially. How are we going to make this work? We're reaching college students and young adults, and they're working on things, and they're not there yet, you know. So like, this, how's this going to work out? And oftentimes I have people that when they send me what they're praying for, it helps me remember the things that I should be praying for, like the sanctifying kind of prayers, right? So like oftentimes people are praying for our faith, that our faith would be boosted through this time, right? Faith meaning learning to trust in God, the invisible God who spoke everything to existence, and learning to, like, in this stage where we are, where we can't necessarily see him, to trust that he's working on our behalf, and that we can take steps in faith, doing what he called us to do, knowing that he's working and that he's going to be there for us and he's going to protect us no matter what, you know, that those kind of prayers. Perseverance, you know, when times get hard, people often send me those kind of things. Like, hey, we're praying for your perseverance. We're praying that, like, even when, you know, you walk into the room and the people that said that they were going to show up at the worship service or at the Bible study or at the meeting, you know, last minute canceling on you, even when those things happen, that you would persevere and keep on trusting in God for his glory. This is about his glory. This is not about results and numbers and things like that, right? Like perseverance, stay in it. When times get hard, you know, you're going to be diligent to do exactly what God's called you to do. Boldness. They pray for that often. Boldness. And just that, like, we, you know, when we get opportunities to share our faith and really go after people, that will do it. We'll take those. Not fear the enemy, not fear the world. Wisdom. How do you approach life, and like what's a God honoring way to approach just everything that we do? Church planning has so many things. Like how do we use our finances well and have wisdom in that? How do we help people understand our mission and understand what we're all about, and not put too much on them while at the same time putting enough on them to take steps and grow in their faith, right? Like, that's a balance of it just requires wisdom. They pray for opportunities all the time for us, that we would have opportunities to reach people, to invest in each other, to love each other, and to take time to do it, and discipline, those kind of things. So they pray for all the things that necessarily wouldn't be the first thing that come to my mind to pray for, but they're praying for that, and thousands of people are doing that, and they're praying prayers that are in God's will, that he wants to answer, that he says he wants us to be praying, that Paul modeled, right? And it's cool because there's a collective wisdom going out, like, even when I don't know what to pray for like I should, the Spirit's leading others to pray for things that they should be praying for us, and it's happening all the time, and I'm encouraged by it, okay? Because church planning, I don't know if you knew this, like, in leading a church is really hard. Did you guys know that? It's hard. It's hard stuff. It's hard. And it's awesome, and I love it, and I'm grateful for it. And me and Tim, I feel like we feel like we're right where we need to be. This is something God's called us to. And Harrison down here with us and giving his life, just in all the ways he has, and his family. But we feel like we're right where we need to be, but it's not easy. And sometimes you can be tempted to, like, kind of like trust in your past accomplishments and trust in your past experiences more than trusting a God in this very new, different situation. It's hard, and we're afflicted all the time. There's things that you guys don't know about that we're constantly meeting with people and talking about, just really big sin issues or really big, like, crazy, crazy problems that people have, like, that you don't even know, like, that walk in here and they have these huge needs and these huge life circumstances that a lot of which we're like, whoa, like, only God can help that. And we pray all the time for God's help and deliverance and all the things that Paul prayed. And so we've been in this series, 2 Corinthians 1:8-11. We're going to be there again. And we're kind of jumping off into a little mini series on prayer because we felt like it was a good thing to do. And it was a neat thing for us to talk about. So I want to read these verses and we're going to jump into it. Okay. So verse 8, we don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We are completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we received the sentence of death, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a terrible death, and he will deliver us. We have put our hope in him that he will deliver us again. And while you join in helping us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that comes to us through the prayers of many. Again, verse 11, while you join in helping us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that came to us through the prayers of many. Verse 11 starts with, while you join in helping us by your prayers. The ESV says, you must join us. You must join us by helping with your prayers. And it's kind of like this imperative that you see play out. We talked about last week that it's almost like Paul in the CSV is assuming like, hey, you guys are helping us with your prayers. You guys are praying all the time for us. You guys, like, this is what we do as Christians for each other. We intercede for one another. When we're in the middle of hard times, we think about each other and we're praying, right? You must help us. And so we learned last week that Paul addressed the congregation in so many times throughout the New Testament with this idea of, hey guys, we need to be praying for each other all the time. Like all the time we need to be praying for each other. And we talked about it from a cool vantage point, prayer in the age of social media. And I liked how Tim addressed a lot of what praying for each other doesn't mean, right? So like, I think you probably left with that, just a lot of like, hey, we should pray for each other. We should be doing it all the time, but it doesn't necessarily mean some of these things. Number one, you don't have to pray for everyone in the world, every possible need, every time you pray. That was a funny thing. Tim was like people actually think this way. And I remember my son, when we talked about praying for people in the world, I remember him going one night and he started praying for every person in our family, like listing them off name by name by name. And it was really cool. And then it was neat that he was doing that, but then he kind of went off on like all the different workers and the different places that we had gone. And he was like going, and he'd never gone this way before, but like he was like praying. And we were spending like 10, 15 minutes of him praying for like everything he could think about. And then he started like praying for other needs. And I started thinking like, man, if we had to pray like that every time we prayed, how many of you guys would be scared to pray? Like, man, I don't have time to pray. if I feel the need to pray. It was really awesome that he wanted to do that, and we had time to do it. But if we think of prayer that way, that we have to pray for every need, then, you know, it could be a turnoff. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, like, there's very specific things you need to be praying for. You need to be praying for things in the world, but very specifically, there's a special heart for praying for each other, praying for your church, praying for your church family, praying for the gospel to go out. You don't have to pray exactly in a way that people tell you to pray. You know, oftentimes people will tell you to pray for very specific things. And if we want to pray in God's will, we need to kind of modify those prayers a little bit, right? Right? Like, we need to modify it, because it's scary to be the person that's praying and then people are putting trust in your prayer. It happens a lot for me as a Christian leader. Like, I was like, hey, if we can get Marcus, who's a pastor, to pray for something, then it's going to be a little more powerful, and I really need to make an A in my class, so I'm going to get Marcus to pray for that, you know, and like, or I really need for this thing to happen, or I need to get this job promotion, those kind of things. And I'm always very careful to modify those prayers and just pray, hey God, we want whatever you want to happen. I want them to grow in trusting you through this time where they don't know what's going to happen. And if it's your will, give them the grade, give them the job, and like we'll celebrate that if it's your will, but if not, we're going to celebrate anyway. You know, like I'll modify prayers, and I'm sure you've had to do that. You don't have to list a lot of people to pray in order to force God to do what you want to do because of the sheer volume of petitioning, right? Like, hey, let's get everybody in on this so that God just, like, we have to twist his arm to answer the prayer that we want to happen. That's not the way we should pray. And ultimately, we shouldn't find encouragement in the amount of likes you get on your prayer requests on social media, but you should rather find comfort in the faithfulness of God those prayers are directed towards. Okay? So there's a lot of things we learned that prayer for each other doesn't mean, but tonight I want to spend our time talking about biblical prayers that Paul prayed all the time. Okay? And it's honestly going to be a survey of a lot of the New Testament. We're just going to go to verses and we're going to see different ways that Paul prayed. It probably won't take that long. I say that, but it usually does. But I probably won't take that long, honestly. I've got 10 ways that we're going to see that Paul prayed, and we're going to get through some of them with as much time we can get. And then when we run out of time, we're going to keep on going next week and have a cool prayer service next week. It's going to be neat. It's going to be a little different where we sing and as prayers, sing worship songs as prayers in light of the things that God wants us to pray. So be excited about that. Invite people to that. Okay. So tonight we're going to learn how to pray like Paul. All right. All right. So we know this, that Paul tells us in his word often. God tells us in his word to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. He says it in 1 Corinthians 4 and 11, 2 Timothy 3:10, you've followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. Conduct, purpose, faith, all of these things. He tells us in his word, God's word, to follow and imitate godly leaders, especially Paul, who was writing to the Gentiles. And so when we think about following through with this imitation, we should definitely look at the way Paul prayed and try to model ourselves after it, okay? So the first way that I see often, especially at the beginning of the letters of Paul, that we should pray is, number one, Paul thanked God for each one of his people. Paul thanked God for each one of his people, his church followers, people that were part of his church family. He prayed for them often, and he would pray for them by name. So Romans 1, 8 through 10 says this, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the news of your faith is being reported all over the world. God is my witness, who I serve in my spirit, telling you the good news about his son, that I constantly mention you, always asking in my prayers that if somehow in God's will, I now at last succeed in coming to you. So chapter 1 of Romans, he's starting off, he's greeting them, he's saying, look, I pray for you guys. I thank God for you guys because I see your faithfulness and I see those kind of things. And he always prayed for that all the time, all the time. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 says this, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, chapter 1 again, right? I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Philippians 1, 3 through 5, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, every one of them, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer. So like every prayer that Paul prayed, part of his prayer time was giving thanks and remembrance for the people that he was partnered with in ministry, the people in his church family, right? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Colossians 1, 3 through 5, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 3, we always thank God for all of you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers, recall in the presence of our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, 13, we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, and rightfully so, since your faith is flourishing, the love each of you have for one another is increasing. Couple more. 2 Timothy 1, 3, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, all the time, all the time. And last, Philippians 1, 4, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. So like, this is a theme, right? Like this is repetitive. This is like a bunch of different verses and a bunch of different whole books in the Bible where he starts off the time saying, I thank God all the time in my prayers for you. And then he goes on to say the things he thanks God for. He thanks God for their faithfulness, for their partnership. He remembers their deeds that he's hearing about all over the world, and how like everywhere he goes, he's hearing of the faithfulness of certain churches and how they're coming through and how they're being bold in their faith, and they're following through what God's called us to do in our mission. How they're becoming holy. We're gonna talk about that in a minute. All of these things, okay? And so my question for us is, in your time of prayer that you hopefully do every day, is a key part of your prayer thanking God for your church family and thanking God for the ways God's being faithful and he's ministering through each one of the individuals that you're partnered with and that you love and that you're in connection with? Is that part of your ongoing prayer day, night and day, like Paul says, right? That's huge. It's huge. We need to. And I love what we do on GroupMe, guys. I hope you don't take it for granted. This is a way, so like there's dangers of social media, but then there's also like a really cool in social media, because like never before we can be connected and we really can know what's going on. And we really can hear Julian say, hey guys, I'm about to go meet with somebody and I'm about to go be faithfulness. And like, do you think in the middle of your prayer, God help Julian, help give him words to say, help the gospel be spread, but also thank God for him. Thank God that he's going, right? Like, and like, thank God that you're working through him and that like he's partnered with us and he's doing this thing for Jesus. And God's getting glory through this. Like, thank you so much that your glory is getting spread through Julian right now. He's being bold. And so many of others. It's not just Julian. It's just Julian did it last on the group meet. So like, I remembered it, you know, and it was cool. So, but like, thank God. Thank God. Is that part of your prayer time? It should be. It has to be. We're going to imitate Paul and prayers that reflect not just praying for ourselves and our own needs and things that God's like already promised to meet a lot of times. Like we need it. We need to pray prayers that are sacrificial and gratitude. Like what about the people in your life that God has put there? So often singles, people that don't have a spouse right now. So often we're busy praying for God to bring us the person that we don't have, but then we're not thanking God for all the people that we do have. Right? Like all the time, like all the people that are in our lives that God's brought. And I'm just telling you like that was a big time in my life being single, being unmarried and not having people. Sometimes you can become so focused on what you don't have that you don't remember what you do. But God's already provided the companionship and the people partnered that care about you, that want to be in your life. And that would do anything for you, that would drop everything for you because they love you so much. God's provided those kind of people, and we can be so focused on what we don't have that we kind of scoff at God's provision in the moment, right? And for me, remembering those and turning my prayers more from, hey God, you've got the whole like you're gonna bring me who I need when I need it thing, and I'm gonna focus on you, but you have given me these people. And turning my focus to like praying for them and interceding for them and being grateful for them really, really helped me have joy in those times. It was something I really needed to learn that would translate to a lot of other situations in my life where I was waiting on something that I thought God wanted for me, but I was so busy focused on not having it that I wasn't focused on what he had given me. Okay, so Paul prayed all the time for his people. He thanked God for his people, and we need to be in that state of gratitude all the time, especially for our church family and what we're doing. Okay, number two, Paul prayed for his people's wisdom and knowledge, that they would grow in it all the time. Okay. Ephesians 1, 16 through 17 says this, since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have never stopped giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray, listen to what he prayed after he gave thanks. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Colossians 1:9, since the day we heard this, we have not stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Key prayer Paul prayed. He prayed for that his people would have wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and knowledge of what God wants, his will, but also his word, right? That they would grow rooted in it. How often do you reflect that in your prayers? Okay? Daily, you're praying for your people. You're praying for God's people, and you pray, I pray that you'll give so-and-so wisdom right now. They're going to school, and they're being tempted in every type of way. All ways that want to dishonor God, I pray that, Lord, you'll give them wisdom, so-and-so, by name. You give them wisdom today as they approach their day. They're going into a hostile work environment. I pray that you give them wisdom of how to walk in Jesus and walk faithfully, all right, to discern the enemy and to empower, live out what we've been called to do, right? Like do you pray that for others? We have to. We need to. And it's a good personal prayer too, right? If Paul prayed it for us, then we should pray it for ourselves too. That we would have wisdom, we would grow in discernment, we would grow in understanding of his word. There's a prayer partner named Greg Carlisle, and he has a kind of like a prayer ministry to me personally. It's neat. I met him at this assessment. He's the missions coordinator for Madison County up north. He's an awesome dude. He's a guy that like has really made it a habit to every day pray for local and global missions. Okay, and so he put me on. I'm on the 12th of every month. Okay, and like clockwork every month. He's like, Greg, not Craig. Craig, not Greg. Craig texts me and he says, "Hey, brother, what can I be praying for you about? Today's your day." Let me have it, you know, like lay it on me, you know, and I'm like, dude, and it'll be on Sunday, it'll be on any day of the week, whatever day it falls, I'll get this random, yeah, oh yeah, it's the 12th, he's praying for me today, and it's neat, and like going back, Tim, one of the things that I at first started praying for was like provision, like again, like I was worried about that, and he would always flavor the prayer for provision with this idea of knowledge and discernment. he would always pray that. He would like, God, please meet their needs. Because you promised you will. And so we trust in you with that. Like meet their needs. But give Marcus discernment and knowledge and wisdom of how to pour the knowledge of you into his congregation, into the people that he meets everywhere he goes. And so he would always kind of like point me back to like, hey, you really need to be praying for wisdom and knowledge and that others would have it of God, because the more that happens, the more we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're growing who we're supposed to be, right? And knowing God. And so just be encouraged. We got Greg Carlisle partnered with us on the 12th. So on the 12th, just know he's praying for all of us. And most of the time he's praying a prayer that reflects this idea of you and us as a church growing in the knowledge of who God is and understanding of who he is. So that's pretty cool. We need to be praying that way. We need to be praying for people. We need to be praying for each other, especially. Okay? So there's so often that you know the needs of everybody in this church, and you know what they're going through, and you know what they're struggling with. I'm going to tell you, this is a prayer we need to be praying for them. More than, God, get them out of this bad circumstance. Lord, while they're in this circumstance, give them the knowledge and the understanding of how to apply your word in that situation. Okay? Number three, Paul prayed that his people would be full of hope. Full of hope. Like genuine hope. Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the wealth of his meaning Jesus, the glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of his strength. He prays that our eyes would be enlightened And it would open up our hearts to understand the hope that we have that's bigger than the here and now, right? Pray that we'd be full of hope. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is what Paul prayed, that we would have hope. This is what the world needs around us. Need hope. Need hope. And our prayers need to reflect that, that we have that hope and that we're pursuing that hope. And in the middle of it, guys, like there's people in our midst that are struggling with some pretty hard stuff. And they just need to remember and have their eyes enlightened to the aspect of hope, the hope that's bigger than the here and now, a hope of a future, a hope that we're promised in Christ, the glorious inheritance. They need to have their minds shifted away from the here and now and to the future that's promised. Because so often when you're focused on the here and now and you're focused on all the problems and you're focused on all the things that are going on, you miss the hope that comes of knowing, like, hey, there's nothing anybody can do to me or take away from me. I have an inheritance that's sealed until the day of redemption through the Holy Spirit that's coming, that's going to, just a short amount of time away, I'm going to have it, live in it forever. You know, people need to have that, right? The Bible says when you go through trials and you mourn something really hard, to not mourn as someone who doesn't have hope, right? And the reason is because it's a powerful witness to the world, like that we have a difference in us. Like when we go through hard times, we have a hope that's bigger than what's happened. We have a hope that's overcome death. We talked about a few weeks ago. Jesus overcame death. We put our hope in him. And he's that same spirit he's given us to overcome, right? And so being full of hope is what Paul prayed for. So that the Holy Spirit may abound in hope. We need to pray. We need to pray for each other in this all the time. Put this on. Hey, I pray for so-and-so right now. They're despairing. They need hope. And I pray that they'll have their eyes enlightened and open to it. And help me right now in the midst, Lord. I need hope. Put my trust in God in these times. All right. Number four, Paul prayed that they would live in peace and unity. So that was a big prayer that Paul had. 1 Thessalonians 3:16 says this. So God's people would live in peace and unity. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way, and the Lord be with you all. 1 Thessalonians 3, right there, the context there before the verses, there's someone that they need to church discipline. And so the whole hope is to discipline him as a brother so that he can be reunited to the congregation. And the point is they want to have peace together. So that's some of the context there. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this, do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so if Paul's telling us to emulate this, hey, don't worry, pray. Pray for what? Thanksgiving and petitioning to God. And as a result, peace will come. The peace that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That means that Paul emulated this and he wanted this for us as well. Okay, Romans 15, 5 through 6 says this, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for unity. Pray for peace and unity as a body together. Okay? How often do you pray that? Some of you guys have insight at times in churches in the past. You might have been in churches where like they were just fighting all the time about everything. All right? How were you a part of that? Like how did you engage that? Right? So oftentimes we're tempted to kind of like be part of the problem, like to start gossiping or getting frustrated at each other or you know, start saying, hey, do you hear so-and-so? They have a problem with so-and-so. And we kind of engage it that way. Paul engaged it by saying, we need to pray. We need to pray for unity constantly. And it was something he prayed for all the time. He talked about it all the time. Right, because he knew the enemy wanted to attack and wanted to get in the midst, okay? And it's something, guys, like all the time, people, even in a small time here as church planting, like the enemy will get in here and cause dissension and use gossip and slander and all of these things, just like quick little comments and quick little questions and quick little things that will cause each one of us to not think the best of each other, right? And not to like love all things and hope all things. And all of a sudden the enemy will lead us to start keeping record of wrongdoing with each other, right? And then over time that builds up and then we start talking about it and start spreading it. And the way to nip it in the bud is to not engage that way and just to go to God and say, we need unity and pray for each other. Really pray for each other all the time. God, help. Their eyes be open to the truth of like, we just need to approach this the right way. God, bring unity, bring peace, and those kind of things. And you're going to be so tempted, like a missional church, this is one of the big things that we struggle with all the time as a missional church, because we're going to bring people in from the outside that maybe don't think this way, right? And they don't understand how God's people work together. It's going to be something we have to train them on and just be really diligent to say, hey, look, I know you got a problem, but we don't talk about each other that way. Let me show you the way to do it. Why don't we pray for them? Let's pray that God brings us unified together. Let's pray that God can help us take steps of unity. Like instead of like talking about them to me, like why don't we pray that you have the power to go and really intercede and tell them the issues you have. And like, I can come with you if you need help, but like, let's pursue unity at all costs, right? So many of the problems that come with a local church and a body could be eliminated if we could be praying the things that Paul prayed and that God, through him, wants us to pray. So we need to be praying all the time that we live in peace and unity together and pursue it together and lead people to it, okay? And I'm going to do this last point, and then we'll respond. Number five, Paul prayed that they would be strengthened with spiritual power. Pretty cool. Strengthened with spiritual power. Ephesians 3:16. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his spirit. It's pretty cool. How many times do you pray for your brother or sister to have power? Spiritual power. It's pretty awesome prayer. Ephesians 1:18-19. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of the calling, the wealth of his glorious inheritance to saints, and the immeasurable greatness of his power. This is the part I was trying to get to, immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to his mighty working of strength. Colossians 1:11. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we have not stopped praying for you. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you have great endurance and patience. So a prayer of power for each other, that we could walk in power of the Holy Spirit, and that whatever life has to bring, that we walk in power. It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool prayer. And I hope that we can reflect some of these things. And so it's a simple message tonight, just the things that Paul prayed. And I'm excited about seeing the rest of them next week, but remember this, Paul thanked God for each one of his people. All the time he thanked God for him. Paul prayed for their wisdom and knowledge. Paul prayed that they would be full of hope. And Paul prayed that they would live in peace and unity. And lastly, Paul prayed that they would be strengthened with spiritual power. That's often something, that last one, that I pray for you guys when I see your prayer request. I pray that the Spirit would give you the power to accomplish everything God's called you to accomplish. I pray that when you go into situations where you're talking to people and you're going into the hard situations of life, that God would allow you to move in power and strength. And guys, we need to be praying for each other in these ways. We have to as a church, because the enemy has schemes in our flesh. He wants to go back and cower in fear. If our flesh and the enemy had its way, we would be like cold up in balls every day, not leaving our house. And a lot of us are tempted to be that way. And that's why we need to be praying for each other. So it's a simple message. But one of the things you're going to see as you grow in prayer, as we grow in prayer together, is that a lot of Paul's prayer was turned away from himself. You don't see a lot of like Paul saying, help me, help me, help me. But you do see a lot of Paul saying, I want to love others as I love myself. And I want to honor God with our life. And I want our church to honor God with their lives. And so often our prayers can be reflective of just a lot of times our selfishness. Like we think about ourselves all the time. And we're focused on ourselves and we're focused on our own way. And the true path to hope and peace and joy isn't found in being consumed with us. Like that's what led to the fall. Man pursuing his own way. True path to peace and hope and joy and love is a life that's centered on God's glory and centered on showing that glory to others around us in every way possible. And if God's given us a direct conversation with him to focus us on purpose and joy, a lot of times instead of using it in the way that it's meant to be used, we have a tendency to turn it back to ourselves and to focus on ourselves again in the name of good, in the name of doing right. But may we be a church that repents and turns away from prayers that are focused on us and they really focus in on what God wants, that reflect his true nature.
We are so encouraged that you chose to engage with God's Word on our Provenance podcast. For more biblical teaching, resources, media, and to financially support the mission of Provenance, please visit ProvenanceChurch.com. Until next time, go equip one another to embody humanity's one true purpose.